You've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Let's go! Yeah! For those of you that want to know what we're all about, it's like this, yo. This is 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, 100% reason to remember the name of my life.
It's time to talk about the high school sports scene in Arizona and beyond. Welcome to the Coach's Corner with the coach, Scott Lovely. We are the first internet sports radio talk show focusing on the high school sports scene. And here's your host, Coach Lovely.
Good afternoon, good evening, Arizona high school sports fans. I am the coach, Scott Lovely, and welcome to today's show. Well, I tell you what, it's good to be back in the studio, prepping the show. With school wrapping up and everything coming to a close at the end of the school year, you know, we started looking around at some different things that are taking place in the state. And you know, this story that we're going to talk about today is more of a serious note. You know, today we're going to discuss a very serious issue, one that every male listening today needs to pay attention to. Our show takes us into the topic of cancer. Yes, cancer, but more specifically, testicular cancer. You know, we want to talk with an extraordinary young man that's battled testicular cancer and survived and is now working on playing college basketball. You know, it's interesting because during our course of the day, you know, we take for granted so many things. You know, a simple bump or an accident that can get noticed or, you know, get unnoticed or blown off as nothing major. You know, in the game of basketball, these types of things happen all the time. Well, in this situation, a bump saved the life of this athlete. A bump to the testicles. That's right. The family jewels set in motion a discovery that would save Taylor Statham's life. And we're going to talk to him in just a second. But, you know, first I want to talk about testicular cancer. And this is a subject that really, I mean, I've never thought about it much. I mean, we've all heard about Lance Armstrong's story and the fact that in October of 96, he was 25 years old and he was diagnosed with stage 3 testicular cancer. And because it had been diagnosed so late, it had already spread to his lungs, abdomen, and brain. And from that came the Live Strong campaign that Lance Armstrong put together, and you know, we've all donated the dollar to get the Live Strong bracelet or participated in different things that helped the Live Strong Foundation continue to grow and do research on it. But really, you know, those stories are out there and in the periphery. We don't pay a whole lot of attention until it hits home, until it actually connects and we can understand the impact and the power and what happens to those people who suffer from situations like Lance Armstrong. And this year, it kind of touched home for me. One of my athletes, one of my former athletes, played for me this year over at Westwind Prep International, you know, had an issue that kind of it brought it all home to me and made this more of a reality. And so this show today is so that you can get a hold of it and understand exactly what we're talking about and how this could impact your life and your family's life. But now, first off, what is testicular cancer? Testicular cancer is a disease in which the cells become malignant, cancerous, in one or both the testicles. Now, there's two types. Testicular cancer is classified as seminomas or non-seminomas. And you know, I had to do a lot of research in finding this. And basically, cancer accounts for only 1% of all cancer in men is testicular cancer. But 8,000 men a year are diagnosed with testicular cancer, and about 390 die of this disease each year. So 390 out of 8,000 pass because of testicular cancer. And what shocked me most was, and this is something that Taylor educated me on, and so I had to double check, but testicular cancer occurs most often in men between the ages of 20 to 39. And is most common forms of cancer in men between the ages of 15 to 34. It's most common in white males, but in recent years, it's begun to rise and increase in the black male population. And the reason for the racial differences is nobody knows why that's happening. Now, the risk factors for cancer, you're looking at undescendable testicle, congenital abnormalities, history of testicular cancer in your family, or history of testicular cancer. Men who have had testicular cancer are at increased risk of developing cancer in the other testicle as well. So it's not something that you need to take lightly. This is a serious issue, and if detected early enough, you can handle the situation and control it. And we're going to talk to Taylor here about his situation and how it came about and what his recommendations are to you after having gone through this. Because I tell you what, this is probably one of the strongest, I think Taylor's 18. This is one of the strongest 18-year-old men I've ever met in my entire life. He is mentally tough, and he is physically just as tough. And we're going to hear his story right now. I'm going to welcome to the show Taylor Statham. Taylor, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Coach. Very happy to be here. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome. And you know what, man? Hearing all the different things that are going on with you and reading some of the articles that have been written about you, and I'm glad to hear that you are where you're at. But you know what? I'm not surprised, buddy. I'm really not surprised. And before we give everybody what's going on with you right now, what I want to do is let's start at the beginning. Let's go back to your high school career and talk about your high school experience. You went to, was it Golden Valley High School?
Yes. I went to Golden Valley High School in Santa Clarita, California.
And let's talk about your basketball, man.
Well, actually, I only played 1 year of varsity because in the middle of my 10th grade year, I transferred from Hart High School, which is in the same district. And so the following year, my 11th grade year, I had to sit out. So I only really got to play 1 year of varsity.
Okay, so you played 1 year of varsity basketball. You had a very successful varsity basketball season your senior year.
Yes.
And as a result of only having 1 year of varsity basketball, you kind of needed a little bit of extra time to gain some exposure and get an opportunity to play at the next level.
Yes, because most of the colleges recruiting me already had given out most of their scholarships because they didn't find out about me until after my senior season. So, and throughout high school, I grew 10 inches, so I was always having to play catch up with my body. So I just thought an extra year to get more, not only mentally mature, but physically mature and fill in my body a little to get ready for college would be really good.
Okay, so with that, you decided to attend Westwind Prep International here in Phoenix. So you moved from California to Westwind, and you stayed in the Westwind dorms and attended Westwind Prep, which is where you and I connected.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about your Westwind Prep, the transition, man, having to go from being at home with mom and dad, and I've gotten a chance to meet both your parents, and I know you guys are a very close family. You come from a basketball stock, so I'm sure, you know, everybody else is like, oh, well, it's a part of the game. Go on, son. See you later. Get out there and do what you got to do. But moving from mom and dad to Phoenix, which, you know, it's a little bit away. It's not that far. It's quick hop over, but how did that transition for you? How did that go?
Well, it was new because, as you said, my family and I are very close, and it's just like simple things. Like they weren't always there, like hold my hand. Like instead of being like, "Oh, mom, what's for dinner?" Like I had to really like make my own dinner, or I couldn't be like, "Hey, mom, can you make me a sandwich anymore?" You know. And I pretty much had to do my own laundry and just simple things like that. Little things made me miss my parents a lot, you know.
Okay, so the little simple things of life, you kind of were having to grow up a little bit faster.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing because at the same time it was prepping you for the next level, for college.
Mm.
All right. So now you get to West Wind. We start up with open gyms in, I think it was August or September. And you're starting to play. We separate the teams and we start getting things going. And let's talk about November. Let's talk about, you know, we started up the season and practices were going. And let's talk about what happened that kind of started this whole ride that you've been on since November.
Okay, well, November, because for prep, our season started a little earlier. So we had already played, how many games, like 10 or so?
I think it may have been six to 10 games, right?
6 to 10. So our team was really starting to come together, like, with our chemistry and everything. And we were in practice one day, and I actually, like, slid over to take a charge, and one of my teammates went up for the layup and happened to knee me in my groin. And, I mean, it really hurt. But, of course, as a guy, you know it always hurts. But it hurt, like, it hurt a lot more than it usually does. So I thought that was weird. And then I noticed a few days later it was swelled, like, and it was really hard, like one of my testicles. And I just thought that was weird. And I thought, okay, well, maybe this is just something that happens. So, I mean, I let it linger, and I waited a few weeks, and my parents actually came out to watch some of our games against local junior colleges, and that's when they told me I have to get it checked out. So my mom made an appointment for just a regular doctor checkup.
Now, this was like 2 or 3 weeks later.
Yeah. No, this was about, the checkup was probably like a month later.
Yeah, now see, and this is what I mean, ladies and gentlemen, when I say to you that this is a tough kid. I mean, you know, guys, you know, when you take a shot to the family jewels, it hurts. There's a lot of pain involved there. And so when you get to a situation where he's sitting there, he's got some serious pain going on, and yet not once did he ever complain to the coaching staff at all. During practices or anything else, during games, he never once complained or mentioned it to us at all. So that's why I say this kid mentally is tough and physically just as tough. So let's go ahead. So mom and dad come into town. They're there for some of our games. And mom says, okay, you know what? We're going to take you to the doctor. So go ahead.
Yeah, because it was really hurting, like simple movements, because it was so swelled and hard. Like simple movements, like walking, or like standing up straight, it would really hurt. Like it was extreme pain, and I would try to take like Motrin or Advil sometimes, but that wouldn't work. And I don't know if you remember, but that's when I first started like working my way into the starting lineup. That's why I didn't want to say anything, because I didn't want like the coaches to think I was injured or anything or couldn't play. So I just played through it, and then my mom is really the one who forced my mom and dad. Are the ones who forced me to go to the doctors, and I went the week after they came, which was the week before Thanksgiving, and it was the week before our Vegas trip. And,
right, we were going up to Las Vegas to play in the Impact tournament, the Team Impact tournament.
Yeah, and I just remember I went to the doctors, and it was just a regular doctor, and he checked it out. It was in like 5 or 10 minutes. He was like, "Go to you need to go to the hospital right away." And he like called them and set up like tests to be run, like an ultrasound and stuff. And so I had Mrs. Truesdale, who's the head honcho at West Wind, his wife was actually the one giving me rides back and forth, and she took me to the hospital. And then from there, she stayed with me throughout the whole day, which was really great, because my parents weren't around at that time. They went back home, and I immediately went to the hospital. I had the test done, ultrasound, and then they sent me to the ER, and then I was there until probably like 11 o'clock at night, and then they set me up with a specialist, a urologist, probably like 2-3 days later. And my mom like the whole time was worried, and she immediately flew out, and she's the one who went to the urologist, the specialist, for me to get checked out, because up to that point I didn't know what it was. They didn't know what it was. They didn't know it was cancerous or a tumor or anything at that point. they just thought, they thought what happened was my testicles had twisted or something.
Right, I remember that conversation, right.
And they thought, one of them is bleeding or something like that. They didn't really know. And then when I went to the specialist with my mom, he just, we walked in, and it was really quick. He actually just flat out told me, you have a tumor, and it's cancerous, so you need to do we need to have surgery right away.
Now, did he just right away say to you, this is cancerous, or did he say it might be cancerous and we need to figure it out?
Oh, well, he said it might be cancerous, but we need to have surgery right away.
Okay. So it was like all of a sudden, you go from playing basketball and everything going great to all of a sudden now you get the C word dropped on you in a shocking situation after having this collision with one of your teammates in practice. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break right now. When we come back from the break, we're going to have Taylor's dad join us and kind of talk to us about his perspective of what was going on at that time and how mom and dad were both dealing with the situation and trying to figure out what to do from that point. This is the Coach's Corner being joined by Taylor Statham. We'll be right back after this message.
But damn the game, if it don't mean nothing. What is game? Who got game? Where's the game? And like, behind the game. I got game, she got game, we got game, they got game.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Sports and medicine go hand in hand. Quite simply, if you aren't up to your game health-wise, you won't be up to your game on the field. That's where Bruce the Sports Doc comes in. Dr. Bruce Grossinger uses his medical training and experience to bring you a link between sports and medicine, from the latest advances and treatments to discussion behind the injuries of the week. Bruce the Sports Doc and his team of guest experts are here each week to lay it on the line in terms that you can understand. Tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Sports continues to grow and evolve to ever-increasing prominence in today's society. On All Around Sports, host John Inglesby will connect with the leading newsmakers from the sports world, including players, owners, and fellow sports journalists, discussing the top news and events that are relevant to sports today. John will also report from and offer his experience of the world's top sports events. Tune in to All Around Sports with John Inglesby, Fridays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Do you think that all of the generic financial information you get every day is hard to navigate? You need to tune in to Duffy's Financial Playbook. Every weekend, Andre S. Duffy will help you filter out this information and turn it into wisdom that you can really use. Be informed about the financial decisions you're about to make instead of just blindly making decisions. Andre's connections in the business and professional sports world will help you so you don't need to worry about your financial success. Tune in to Duffy's Financial Playbook, Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the coach, Scott Lovely, and today we're looking at a very serious issue with a local athlete, or with a Westwind Prep international basketball player who's considered a local athlete here in Arizona that is now back home in California. And we're going to be talking to his dad right now, and I want to welcome his dad, Derek Statham, to the show. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing great, and I'm glad you're able to join me today. So in the last segment, we talked to Taylor about what happened and the fact that he kind of moved away from home, you know, left California, came to Phoenix to go to West Wind Prep to get a little bit better basketball-wise, you know, grow into his body, get a little bit more recognition, and move on to the college level. But, you know, it was a little bit of a shift for him. I'm sure it was a shift for you guys because you guys are a very tight-knit family. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, how did you guys deal with him packing his bags and leaving, you know, California, Santa Clarita area to come over to Phoenix?
Well, it was, we're a very close family, and I coached Taylor all the way up, and we thought it would be a good decision. We knew we were going to miss him, but we thought getting out there among some really good coaches at West Wind Prep and being on his own, we thought it'd be great for him.
Now, see, you're not the normal family either because you guys are very close-knit, but at the same time, you guys all live and breathe basketball. You have a very deep, rich basketball tree in your family, don't you?
Yes, we do.
Let's talk about your basketball background a little bit here.
Well, where do you want me to start? my uncle was the head basketball coach at Oral Roberts, and his son was Steve Hale, who played for North Carolina with Jordan Worthy and Perkins. My wife got a scholarship. I got a scholarship, and her sister was first-team All-American in 1979 down in Florida.
So you guys understood. You know, you're like, okay, yeah, he's going to be leaving. But you know what? We all got to leave to go play ball. So see you later, son. A little bit different dynamic than most, but you guys are still very close.
Right.
Okay, so now you pack up his bags, and he's over here in Phoenix, and he's having a chance to start to play a little bit. We just started getting going, and Taylor, I think you and I had even sent some text messages or talked on the phone once or twice about him starting to really break out and start to get some things going, and he had started to work his way into the starting lineup, and then all of a sudden that day in practice he gets kneed, and let's take it from there. How did you guys respond once you started to hear about what was going on with him?
Well, it was like just the air being knocked out of you. You don't expect something like that to happen, but that you have to realize that in life you're going to have your bumps and bruises along the way, and you try to gather your thoughts and get it together because you've got to have a game face on when you tell your son the news, you know, that the doctors have told you. And, you know, we just we got together as a family. We prayed and had to go with it. I think Taylor, out of everybody, had the strongest face. He just refused to say, why me? He refused to get down. I think his mother probably went to pieces the most, and then me next. But he just wanted to get back on the court, and he said, let's just do what we have to do.
You know, that was the interesting thing. You know, I've said over and over and over again, and I've had, you know, the phone calls for the newspaper articles and stuff that people were doing on him, and they said, you know, how did Taylor handle it? And I said, I think more than anything, I needed to sit down when he told me what was going on. And he just looked at me and goes, yeah, well, you know, it's no big deal. We're just going to get it handled, and I'll be back. And I just sat there, and I was like, going, wow, okay, well, there you go. Let's just do that then. You know, I was very surprised at how strong Taylor was with the situation. Now, did you guys talk to the doctors before Taylor, or did he talk to you guys as a family? How did that kind of happen?
No, we actually knew that there was a tumor there and that they had to come back for surgery, and we had to tell Taylor that.
Oh, wow.
And that was probably one of the hardest things. That was hard, especially for me.
Right,
because we sit down and we go over stuff like you wouldn't believe, and I mean, just you know, it just took a while to be able to get that out. You know, keeping the Kleenex away.
Right. Now, was this something that could have been detected in a normal physical early on, or you know, some people might be thinking, well, was it brought about by the injury, or you know, can you give us any type of background or any type of information like that?
Absolutely, no. The injury had nothing to do with it. What it was brought up is his body was producing too many hormones. People used to think this used to be a rare occurrence, but it's actually becoming more and more frequent with young kids now, and then older in life, as you get older, you get it. But he was having too many hormones, and it just reacted to his body, and it happened.
Okay. So would it have been detected in a normal physical?
It was detected, they say, at the earliest age, you know, at the earliest stage of it.
So this was like a blessing that really he got neat.
I told him it was the best time in his career that he ever took a charge.
It was one of the few charges, too, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding, because actually that's one of the things that Taylor did well. All right. Okay, so now you guys have to deal with this situation. You guys are flying out. You're here to watch him play, and you know, mom and you guys are dealing with that situation. You know, let's walk us through some of the decision-making process and some of the things that you guys had to look at and try and evaluate, because I know Taylor didn't want to go. He didn't want to go home.
Well, I thought the very first thing is I thought we need to get him back here, because right down the street, less than two blocks, is the hospital. And at least I know that if he's there and when he's recuperating, that he's got his family around him. And I thought that was very important. And then also the place that he would receive chemo is less than a mile away. And so I just wanted everything for him to be in his comfort zone. So I thought that would be a big thing to getting back as quick as he could. Other than, you know, being at the West Wind house and having a lot of loud guys when you're trying to recuperate, it might be a little bit, you know, tougher.
Right, right. So now Taylor stayed, or actually he went home for Thanksgiving and then came back for our tournament, right?
Right.
I'm trying to remember how that all went.
Yeah, he came home. He had the surgery to remove the right testicle. He healed up for about, I guess it was a week and a half.
Yeah, I was going to say it wasn't long.
And they said as long as he could handle the pain tolerance. It's been removed, and we'll only have to do chemo a couple rounds in the next month or so. And I know he came back and he played, and then when he came back here, he had to go through the chemo, which was 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, and then the next Monday, and then the following Monday, then you rest and you start it all over again.
Right. And when he came back in that in the Vegas tournament and played very well.
Mm-hmm.
He played very well, and then went home for a couple weeks. Right? Was he home for the whole month of December?
Yeah, I believe he was.
Yeah, I think he was home the whole month of December. And when did he come back to Westwind? I'm trying to recall.
Yeah. It may have been. I think it was at the end of December, and came back for a little while, and then came back to start his chemo.
Right. Now, talk to us. Let's go through chemo a little bit, because I know that chemo is pretty devastating for especially for anybody, but for a kid, you know, who's active and is always playing basketball and lifting weights and running around. I mean, how was it, you know, dealing with the whole chemo situation at home with Taylor?
Well, he would go to chemo, and he would go for 5 hours a day. Then he'd come home and he would tell me that he was going to try to shoot, and I said, just go rest. And he would try to shoot for about 15, 20 minutes, and then he would go sleep for 8, 9 hours. I mean, it just really kicked his tail. And pretty soon, after the second round of chemo, he was going more and more outside. He kept pushing himself and pushing himself, and I don't know how he did it. I really don't.
Yeah, the mentality of Taylor's approach to this whole thing has been the one thing that has continuously floored me, because he is just aggressive. He's definitely more aggressive than the cancer was.
Absolutely. I mean, there was right after the second round of chemo, when they said, you know, now he's okay to go. He was still sick. I would take him out, and he would say, Dad, let's go play ball. Let's go work out. I've got to get ready, or I'm going to lose my time. We would go work out, and he would literally go on the side of the court and throw up and continue to play. I mean, I would have been in bed just, you know, taking a couple weeks off, but there was no time off with him.
So, Derek, tell me this. What was one thing that you learned the most about Taylor through this whole whole incident?
Just the warrior mentality. He just refused to give up. He refused to quit. He refused to say, why me? That was the biggest thing. In fact, this last just this weekend, he walked in the relay up here. It's a cancer walk. And he put it on everybody else to say, I have to help everybody else instead of worrying about me. And I thought that was really special.
You know, I can't say enough how tough Taylor is. And that's the one thing that when college coaches call and say, hey, coach, what can you tell me about this kid? I say, are you kidding me? The first thing I'm going to tell you is how tough he is. You know, the second thing I'm going to tell you is how smart he is. You know, Taylor, in my opinion, has been one of the smartest basketball players I've coached in the last 17 years, and has a high basketball IQ. So, and I told one of the reporters, any college that picks Taylor up is going to get a kid that's going to immediately impact the program, both on and off the court, with the way he interacts with his teammates, how tough he is mentally, and the expectations that he puts on himself along with everybody that's sitting next to him. So that's one of the things that I kind of take away from this and look at it and just go, wow, just an example. The kid's an amazing example. So kudos to both you and your wife for raising Taylor the way you've raised him, because he's a great kid. Now, we're going to pull Taylor back in here, but we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. When we pull Taylor back in, I want to talk a little bit about what's next, because I know he's been playing a little AAU basketball this summer or this spring, getting back on the court and showcasing himself and getting colleges back interested in him. Because, of course, you know, as soon as you throw out the C word, colleges go, whoa, 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 and kind of walked away. How did you guys deal with that?
Well, what we did was the best thing we did is got him into the best possible shape we could, went to his games and supported him. I started actually calling colleges and talking to them, and we've made several visits to colleges, and we've got some good news as of today, and I think there's something else coming at the end of this week.
Okay, excellent. Okay. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be back on with Taylor. I want to thank you, Derek, for joining us today. And this is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach, Scott Lovely. We're going to be back in just a few seconds.
To the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
This Is It Sports is an engaging talk program that includes you, the experts, and sports, all moderated by Coach Carl Hargrave. We'll talk about what's going on in the general sports world, collegiate and professional, take a look at youth-oriented sports, athletic development and sportsmanship, faith, and where it has its place in sports, along with a lively discussion with Coach Carl every week. Tune in to This Is It Sports with Coach Carl Hargrave every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Football and so much more is the focus of Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson. Join the former Arizona Cardinals running back for a show that mixes, well, a little bit of everything. Damian brings to the program life experiences playing football, and we'll talk about his variety of successes both on and off the field. The goal is to provide you with a fun perspective on life, family, success, and, of course, football. Tune in to Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson, Fridays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
This is the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll-free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the coach, Scott Lovely, and right now we're being joined by Taylor Statham, and we're going to talk to him a little bit about, you know, coming back from this situation. Now, you know, if you haven't been paying attention, you're just tuning in, you want to hit the rewind button, and you're going to want to listen to this show because this is a powerful story. But now, Taylor, you found out the news that you had cancer, testicular cancer. You had the surgery, came back, and played some games with us for the rest of the season. Then you left and went back for chemo, and you've been going through that now for the last, 3 months, 2 months?
Yeah, I started in the middle of January, and I didn't finish until about the end of March, I think.
Okay. All right, so now you're done with chemo, and basketball, because your dreams, I mean, nothing's going to stop you from getting what you want. That's the one thing I've learned. Nothing's going to stop you from getting what you want. And so your dream of playing college basketball, you weren't letting go of it. You started working out again. And walk us through the process that you went through after coming back from chemo to get back in shape and get ready to go and regain some notoriety basketball-wise so you could get the scholarship you had been seeking before.
I don't even know where to begin. So much has happened the past, ever since chemo. I've just been going. As soon as chemo ended, right before it ended, I had one session left on, this Monday. And, this was back in, the end of March. And it was Saturday. And, I went to watch my travel ball team play. And, and it was like all my friends, all my old buddies from school and stuff, and they actually lost a close one, and then they won one, and I just wanted to play so bad, because I mean, for about like 2 months, I was just stuck inside, like watching basketball videos, and all I thought about was like basketball, because I had nothing else to do but time and to think and stuff, and I just wanted to be back on the court so bad. And so that Sunday, I actually went out and I played, and our team ended up losing, but I scored 25 points and had 13 rebounds and 11 assists, and that is really what just kept me going. And as soon as chemo ended, I just went after it full speed, and I was supposed to take 2 weeks off afterwards, like 2 or 3 weeks, and I remember by the end of that week, I was going to the gym with my little brother and my dad, and we were just going through drills and stuff, and I was just so out of shape, and I was dead tired. So I just, ever since then, I've been on this like workout plan, and I'll wake up in the morning, and I'll jump rope, I'll run, I'll do like plyometrics, and then during the day, I'll go run and play ball and do drills, and then at night, like I'll lift weights. And so right now, I'm actually back in shape, and that was the hardest part, getting back in shape. I've just been visiting schools, and I played a lot of travel ball just to get back in shape.
Okay. And where do you sit now? As far as the cancer goes, where do you sit? What are the doctors saying? What's the prognosis and the future? How's that look?
Right now I have a clean bill of health, thank God. And actually what happened was because I didn't explain it like thoroughly, but my testicle had – It had a tumor, and it was a cancerous tumor, and it was very aggressive, but luckily it was found very early, thanks to the knee, to the groin, and because it brought it up. And so all I did is I had my testicle removed, and then I just did chemo as, like, precautionary, and so now I'm completely healthy.
Okay, and so what do the doctors say the chances of reoccurrence or anything? They give you any information that way?
Because I actually had my blood test done the other day,
mm-hmm.
And everything is where it's supposed to be. Reoccurrence isn't very likely with this because it was found so early, so it didn't have a chance to spread. And then the chemo wiped out like any chance that it really had to spread.
Okay, so what you're saying is that you really owe Dushan a big time dinner.
Yeah, I do, and luckily he's only 30 minutes away from my house in California.
All right, so let's talk about college hoops now and your dreams of playing ball at the next level. I know that there's been some good things that have been going on for you. You've done very well during your rehab and getting back in shape and playing strong now with your AAU travel team. Let's talk a little bit about what's on the horizon for you basketball-wise.
Well, right now I'm just talking to a few schools. Just been visiting schools that are interested in me and or offering. And I'm just playing travel ball. I had a tournament this weekend. Let's see. It's ending soon, actually. So we'll have like one tournament in June. And if I still play, I'll have a few tournaments in July. But nothing's really written in stone right now.
Okay, and you've got some good D1 looks right now?
Yes, recently, like, I talked to St. Joseph's. They asked me for film, and I talked to the Houston Baptist assistant coach and the UC Davis assistant coach. But most of my looks right now, because it's so late in the recruiting process,
right?
Most of the Division I's, like Pepperdine, Fresno State. Pepperdine's actually the one which their head coach, Coach Ashbury, he's the one who told me I should go to prep school just like a year to get like more ready for college. He stepped down recently.
Right.
But because it's so late, they actually went different directions because they didn't know what was going to happen with me, so they offered other people. So most of my looks right now are Division II, which is still good. I mean, if this experience has taught me anything, it's that the whole, like, you never know when basketball is going to end, so the whole goal is that four-year degree. So,
right.
As long as I get a full ride and I can play basketball, I'm happy.
Yeah. Well, now here's the other thing, too. It's like, you know, having had the opportunity to be around you, and Taylor, I have to say, I've learned from you because your thought process has never wavered, you know, and this is the one thing that you know, people don't understand. When your body is physically breaking down for you, if you don't stay tough mentally, your body's going to continue to break down. And Taylor never wavered, never faltered from the thought process of, hey, okay, let's just get it done, and then we'll get right back to what we were trying to get done. Because I mean, Taylor, I don't know where that came from, that tough mentality, like your dad coined the warrior mentality, because it's there. And you know, and it was one of the reasons why you broke into the starting lineup. You just refused to have anything get in your way. And you know, that's the one thing that people need to be listening to and really grasping from the situation. And, you know, in Taylor's situation, early detection was huge. So I don't want you to think, people, I don't want you to think, well, you know, okay, well, that's great. Get yourself checked and get yourself checked annually, because early detection is going to be the key.
Yeah, no, if I may cut you off right there, actually, all this strength I actually get from my father. He, ever since I was little, he never once has complained. He just always goes out and gets the job done, and he just works so hard for our family. And I remember, because he used to play basketball, and when he was starting to get older, he blew out his meniscus a few times, and I remember him being in so much pain, but he would still, like, limp off to work and stuff like that. So that's really where it draws from, just having to get the job done. And I was very lucky. Like, people really have to get checked out, because, I mean, I went to the doctor every year. They checked and stuff, but even that, like, they missed something, you know? So, and throughout the chemo, like, chemo is something, if you know anyone going through it, you should really, like, be there for them and stuff, because, I mean, it's just a horrible time. And because it's really, because all it is chemicals they're just throwing in your body, and it's just, it's really, like, kills your insides, you know? And I remember I couldn't even get out of bed and stuff. And luckily, every day my mom was there with me, and my mom and dad and my little brother were just so great. And I had so many friends, like, supporting me and stuff, and they would come visit. But sometimes, like, I couldn't even get out of bed, like, you don't even want to eat. You're just so sick to your stomach. So, I mean, you really don't want to go through that. And, I mean, it's worth going to the doctor, like, an extra time a year, or just checking yourself out. So, I mean, I'd really think about that in the future.
So a strong support network was huge for you.
Oh, definitely.
Friends and family included.
Yes.
Okay. Now, we've got only a couple minutes before we go to break, but my last thing for you is I want to ask you, do you have any messages for young men that may or are facing, may be going through or are facing a similar situation? That way, you know, speak to somebody who might be in your shoes, you know, maybe next year even. You know, mm-hmm. What message would you like to make sure that they got?
Just don't give up. I mean, things always get hard, but, I mean, you have to fight through them, because things like this are just temporary, you know? Like, this is just my dad always told me, like, what you're going through right now is just a small picture in a very big picture of life. It's just a very small fragment in a very big picture. So, I mean, I always tell people, like, one person told me when I was in there, She said, tough times don't last, but tough people do. And that's really stuck with me since.
So there you have it. You know, and Taylor has taken, you know, if you look at his basketball journey, it has not been a smooth basketball journey. You know, this is a kid who's 6'6", 205 pounds, and, you know, is a solid basketball player. You know, in high school, he was all conference, second team, and you know, had a lot of accolades put on him because of his performance, and didn't get a scholarship opportunity, and needed to go develop another year, and did so, and then all of a sudden now another challenge comes up, and he just continues to fight through that challenge, and now he's going to be rewarded at the end of this. There's rewards waiting at the end of this journey for this young man. And, you know, it's been great to witness his strength throughout this process. And like I said, Taylor, I've said this to many coaches, this kid is mentally tough, physically tough, and is a piece of a puzzle that you need to have on your team. So, you know, anything I can do for you, you just let me know. You know that.
I really appreciate that, Coach. That means a lot.
This is the Coach's Corner. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show. I can't believe that here we are, butting up against the last segment of the show. But this is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach Scott Lovely, joined by Taylor Statham. We'll be back in just a few seconds.
It might sound a little something, but damn the game. If it don't mean nothing, what is game? Who got game? Where's the game? And like, behind the game, behind the game. I got game, she got game, we got game.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Fantasy sports is where the action really is. Over 40 million people play fantasy sports, but rarely do they get to quiz the experts. Fantasy Insights is the name and the game. Tune in every week as Dish Adams and his guests clue you in on the fantasy football game, what's happening on and off the field, and how it will affect your fantasy team. These experts aren't just beat writers assigned to fantasy football. They live and breathe the game. Tune in to Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams every Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
Are you ready for an old-school, in-your-face discussion of professional, college, and high school football? Tune in for talk on a variety of football-related topics on the program From Under the Helmet with Derek Kennard.
You will hear the week's headlines and straight talk from the hosts and weekly guests that are personal and provocative.
From Under the Helmet is broadcast every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
This is the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll-free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach Scott Lovely. And man, here we are wrapping up another show, and we're here joined with Taylor Statham. And before we wrap up the show, you know, I mean, Taylor, I want to ask you a question, because as we're looking back over the year, you know, I mean, I think I got to see your basketball style and how you evolved as a basketball player. How would you describe yourself as a basketball player?
I would have to say I'm very, what I hear all the time is I'm very savvy and I have high basketball IQ, because I'm not the most athletic guy in the world, and I'm not the strongest guy in the world, but my work ethic is one thing that I don't think anyone can match, and I really pride myself on that.
You know, it's interesting you say that you're not the most athletic guy in the world. If you look at, if you look at your style of basketball and you look at some of the guys that are playing now, like I was watching the Oklahoma City game the other day, and you know what's kind of funny is that there were points in time where I watched Collison and I thought of you. You know,
Darren Collison,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, the big guy.
Yeah,
yeah. There were times because he did things on the court that needed to be done. You know, the fighting for a loose ball, getting on the floor for a loose ball, taking the ball out of Dirk's hands when Dirk went to swing and rip through. It was like I had flashes of you doing similar things in some of our games this year. So it's funny because you say that, and it's like, you know what? You don't have to always be graceful to be athletic.
Yeah.
And I don't want people listening to get the two confused. He's very athletic. He's just not graceful.
That's funny that you say that because my coach last year used to always make fun of me because he said I never played defense the first three quarters and you just said that because the guy guarding Nowitzki he's really been known lately for his defense and that's one thing I really worked on when I was at Westwind because in high school I was more known as a shooter, like a spot up shooter or coming off screens and I mean, I scored a lot of points, and I got, like, first team all-conference, all, like, sectional. I went to, like, local all-star games and got all-tournament and stuff like that. But at Westwind, I really worked on other parts of my games. And it's so great because there's so many good players, and I picked up so much stuff, you know. And plus in Phoenix, no offense, but there's really not as much to do as there is, like, around Los Angeles. So I was in the gym all the time, and so I really expanded my game completely.
Yeah, well, it definitely was noticeable this year. So anyways, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I wanted to make sure that point was hit home. You know, when you say I'm not athletic, I wouldn't say not athletic because you are athletic in certain aspects of the games. You're just not that graceful athletic, you know.
Yeah.
So how else would you describe your game?
Well, I mean, everyone who's seen me play knows that I can shoot, but what I really worked on this year is I could take it to the basket. I really love to set up my teammates. I mean, winning is really the most important thing to me, and however I can do that, if I have to just grab rebounds or I have to follow a guy around the court, not let him catch all game, or if I have to put up 30, I mean, I'm going to do whatever it takes to win. And that's really the ball player I am.
And that was evident in Vegas at the Impact Tournament. I think that Impact Tournament, I don't remember your stats from that particular tournament. All I remember was, okay, I got to keep him on the court. I got to get him back on the court. All right, so let me ask you a question. Who would you – is there anybody out there that you want to thank or acknowledge? Because this has been a long, rough journey for you. You know, I want to give you time now to go ahead and thank those people who supported you through this. And you know, the time is yours, man.
I really have a long list. I mean, obviously, first and foremost, I want to thank the man above for just everything, like – giving me a second chance, and I just thank him every day for just it being caught so early. I obviously want to thank my point guard, who was my roommate at Westwind, Dushan. He's actually the reason we found out I had all this, and I'd like to thank my parents. My mom were so great through everything, and my mom was there, like, holding my hand 5 hours a day, 7 hours a day, every day through chemo, and my family, my girlfriend, my friends, just everybody who supported me and just never gave up on me, and my coaches at Westwind, just all my old coaches, teachers, like everyone who really like put out their hand to support me. I really appreciate it.
Well, Taylor, you know, you definitely make it easy to support you, because you're one of those kids that everybody's always excited to see and proud to have been around. And you know, wherever you go, wherever your journey in life takes you, know that you know, those of us who have been around you, I know I speak for some of the coaches over at West Wind and myself specifically, I'm always there for you. If you ever need anything, you got my number. I'm a phone call away, buddy.
Okay, I appreciate it, Coach. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you, and tell your parents I said thank you, and we'll talk soon.
All right, we'll do.
Okay. This is the Coach's Corner. I want to, you know, before we sign off, you know, this is a very serious issue, and I want to make sure that all of you understand that it's something that you, I know that it's kind of opened my eyes to the situation. You need to make sure you get your physicals taken, because the worst thing in the world, this could have turned out completely different if it wasn't discovered. As soon as it was discovered, it would have been an awful story instead of a triumphant story. And you know, a kid with Taylor's strength, he's made it through a very tough time and is now getting ready to come out on the other side and have success and go to college and play. But there are a lot of people out there, you know, 8,000 people a year are diagnosed with this cancerous disease, and you know, 800, what was it? Was it out of the 8,000? Where was the stat? I can't remember. But it was 390. 400 out of the 8,000 die every year. Don't become a statistic. Don't become that statistic. Become one of the surviving statistics, because it can be a very aggressive form of cancer. So make sure you get yourself checked. Make sure you go to your doctor annually, and don't take it lightly. And of all things, like he said, have that. You know, successful thought process, have that warrior mindset. I love that thought. I love that statement his dad made. He's got that warrior mentality. You know, don't give up. Have that warrior mentality. And, you know, if you know somebody who's going through this situation, make sure that you support them. You heard from Taylor how important a strong support network is. Make sure that you become a part of that strong support network if you know somebody who's going through chemotherapy for cancer, any level of any cancer. Be there for them. Make life a little bit easier for them. I want to thank the Statham family for sharing their story today, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen next for him when he decides what college he's going to attend. I'm going to have him back on the show, and he can make his announcement, because I'm very proud of Taylor. I'm very proud of him as a basketball player and as a human being. We're going to close up today's show. This is the Coach's Corner. I am the Coach Scott Lovely. Remember, leave it better than you found it. We're out of here. Peace.
Game's over for another week, but come on back next Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, for another discussion about high school sports and more on the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.